Congregation, let's turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, page 43. Question 37, what does thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, that so by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness and eternal life. 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. And 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Yes, there is, for thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. So far. The theme for tonight is healed by suffering. Healed by suffering. Three thoughts. Our suffering and the suffering we deserve and must go through and is even beneficial. Our suffering. Secondly, Christ's suffering. So different and deep and the extension of it. And in third place, our healing. So healed by suffering, our suffering, Christ's suffering, and our healing. Congregation, you see something in the few questions and answers of Lord's Day 15 about our misery, about our suffering. Because I read that he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. That means suffering, right? Damnation, future suffering. And we read about obtain for us the favor of God. That means there is no favor without him, but wrath. And also we read in answer 38, about the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Being exposed to God's wrath and judgment. And in the 39th question, and he took on him the curse which lay upon me. So it speaks about our damnation, our judgment, our wrath, our state of misery, our suffering. And we all suffer, more or less, earlier or later, is coming. Some of us are suffering tremendously. Others have a light cross. We all know about it, suffering. And it can be hard. The pain, the discomfort, the brokenness. Life is filled with it. And why is that? You know that. But let us just go over it again. And may the Lord give a real surrendering. May you have to suffer. There is something in you that says, I don't like this. I hate this. I don't want it. I would like to shake it off. That cross, I can't handle it anymore. What a blessing it will be if the Lord will give submission to yet carry the cross. And therefore, we need to have some background information. Why is that? Why do we suffer? What did I do? Well, we all suffered. We all suffer because we all sinned. In our covenant head, we say. What does that mean? That the Lord has organized mankind in a certain way, like unions are organized and schools are organized. So the Lord organized mankind. And the Lord organized mankind in such a way that one will be the head, the representative. And if he would obey, all the ones under him would obey. And if he would fall, then the ones he represents fall. And so the Lord has organized mankind in such a way that Adam was our covenant head. And in a sense, it depended on him. And he ruined it. He is our covenant head. We read about it in God's word. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. For thy sake in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In sorrow. The ground is cursed and works against us. There's labor and sorrow and sweat. And you see it in the entire Bible, suffering. Job 17, mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow. I'm disappearing, I'm a shadow, I'm so vain. It means nothing. Or Psalm 38, for I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Lots of suffering. I was dumb with silence. May the Lord give that to them that have lost a husband, a father, a child. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. Even from the good, my soul was stirred to yet keep your mouth closed and to not rebel and to wait upon the Lord. Because the days are years, they're 70 and 10, and by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is there strength and is the sum of it. Labor and sorrow, it soon cut off and we fly away. It's life. Sorrow. Adam and Eve experienced hatred between their children, and the one slew the other. Imagine. Asaph suffered. We don't know exactly what was the matter there. And David felt chased as a partridge on the mountains. Oh, I think of Psalm 73 about Asaph. Let me just quote a few texts and just see what suffering meant for him. Very instructive. I was envious, jealous. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It went so well with others. Why is it so difficult for me? I'm serving the Lord. I wash my hands in innocency. I do my best. I go to church. Why me? I've cleansed my heart in vain. It's all for nothing. I wash my hands in innocency. All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It comes back all the time, every day. Every day those thoughts. Every day is those temptations. Every day the pain. When I thought to know this was too painful for me. Asaph was really sick of it, tired of it, too painful. My heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. So he was in his rebellion like an animal, not agreeing with the Lord, but opposing him, saying, it's not right. Until the Lord showed him the end of the wicked. And he could say, in spite of all the suffering, think about that. He could say, nevertheless, I am, not I will be, no, I am continually with thee. He experienced the closeness of God that was yet near unto him. Nevertheless, now I see it, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and after receive me to glory. Or think of Psalm 90 about the brevity of life. Speak about the curse and the damnation as well. For we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. It's because of our sins that the damnation came and the wrath of God came, and we have to deal with that and realize it. So we know the diagnosis and know where to seek salvation. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Have you seen that? All iniquities before thee? Our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, the Lord knows it all. Our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as a tale is told. How serious. Who know the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fears, so is thy wrath. The power of God's anger is in our catechism. To be saved from that power of God's anger when he sets our iniquities before him in the light of his countenance. Suffering. Are you suffering? May I recommend to read Lamentations 3 again tonight? Lamentations 3, yes. And you see those complaints, one after the other, that Jeremiah could not possibly agree with the Lord and was so against the Lord. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Accusing the Lord for all different things. He said. And then all of a sudden that turned around. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. All of a sudden he saw it could have been worse. It should have been worse. I'm still so blessed. I still have the compassion of God left. I'm not consumed. So Jeremiah saw it, what he had left. Do you focus on what you lost and what you suffer and the pain? I can see that, but now also look at the different side of it. It's because of the Lord's compassion that we are not worse off. And I read in that same chapter, it's something for young people. Sometimes boys and girls and young friends can suffer as well. And there's a beautiful verse in the Bible about that, about young people suffering. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good. Can be so blessed that at a young age that the Lord puts a yoke on you. Something of a burden on you, something that you don't like and you sometimes cry about. Suffering. And the Lord could have made it so much worse if he would have dealt with us after our sins. It's still mild. You're still alive. His compassions fail not. Oh, I read in the same chapter, he sitteth alone. Just look for a place where you can sit alone and keep a silence. Don't open your mouth against God. Why not? Because he has borne it upon him. He has laid it on him. Don't come to God. Put your mouth in the dust. If so be there may be hope, he giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. Say, Lord, I take it. I take that suffering. I gave my mouth. I put my mouth in the dust. I gave my cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full of reproach. How can he say that? Well, for the Lord will not cast off forever. And then he causes grief. Yes, he does. The Lord did that. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly. The Lord does not afflict willingly, kind of to make life terrible and to just taunt and tease. Not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. There's lots of suffering. And be prepared. It will be worse if you're not prepared for eternity. It's because of our sins that we suffer. So unrepentant we are, so unbelieving we are, so unwilling, so uninterested. All that terrible unbelief, that hardness of the heart, being dead in sins and trespasses. All that he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. To be redeemed, we need to be redeemed in body and soul, because body and soul are lost. Obtain for us the favor of God. There is no favor of God in the deepest sense. We are not forgiven by nature. So we must realize that. That severe judgment of God, which we are exposed to God's wrath. Take it seriously. Our suffering. Let's go to the second thought. Christ's suffering. Oh, he did. But you know, when we suffer, we learn. The Lord Jesus didn't have to learn. And we suffer, and God's people suffer. It's chastisement with a purpose. The Lord Jesus did not need that. He did not need chastisement. When we suffer, it might make God's children holier to be partaker of his holiness. The Lord Jesus did not have to become holier. And yet he suffered. When did it start? Boys, girls, when did the Lord Jesus begin to suffer? What age? You say, well, 30 or so? No. That he all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life. So his whole entire life, all those, that is it, 33 years, it was a chain of suffering. Less in the beginning, more severe at the end, but his life was endless suffering. Experiencing the wrath of God, it is called the state of humiliation. God the Father put him down. God the Father frowned on him. God the Father let him suffer, so that he would experience the wrath of God against sin and absorb it. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Can you believe it? Did the Lord Jesus? Had no sin, had done no evil whatsoever, never harmed anyone. He was immaculate, pure, holy, just before his Father. He did not know sin. And then to be so sorrowful and so heavy. He was perfect. Shocking. Touching. Also comforting. That the Lord Jesus went so deep. He took upon himself a human nature. Why? To be instead of humans, right? But also in order to be able to suffer. With a divine nature, he could then not have suffered. God cannot suffer. So he took upon himself a human nature so he could suffer. And he could die. Oh, he said a few verses further, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he asked his disciples to stay for a while, and he went further to sweat blood and to ask the Father to take the cup away from me if it could please him. What a suffering, especially at the end of his life. Tremendous suffering. Undeserved suffering. What a depth. Those hellish agonies. His soul was so tender, right? A very tender soul, very sensitive, holy. And he suffered God's wrath, the wrath of his Father, hellish agonies. He had been so loving, so kind. And they wanted to crucify him. Most horrible death. And you probably agree with this. The more awareness someone has, the more he can suffer. Like an ant, if you step on ant or dust with your thumb, kill it. Is it suffering? Maybe not. I don't think the ant is really consciously suffering, would you think? Maybe it's a little different than a cat or dog. That is suffering, those animals can suffer. There's consciousness. And people can even suffer more when it dawns on them what they all lose and what the future is like. And the more conscious you have, the heavier the burden is of suffering. And the Lord Jesus had so much awareness. His suffering was unlimited, was something we cannot express, not verbalize. It was quite a suffering. We read in Romans 3, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that's the background. We have sinned against God, and the Lord Jesus came to save a people from their sins, and that's why he, not in a coma, but consciously, had to suffer and was crucified. Now, did the Lord Jesus die for everyone? How would you say that? How would you word that? Some say, of course. He's love. The Lord Jesus died forever and paid the price to save all people. Well, I have a question about that. If the Lord Jesus died for everyone, if everyone's debt has been paid for, right? That's what he's saying. If everyone's debt is paid for, then people don't have to go to hell anymore. Because the price was paid, right? And God does not let people pay twice. First, Jesus takes the sin away, and pays for you, and then you have to pay yourself again. That doesn't make sense. So saying that the Lord Jesus paid for everyone personally, that doesn't really sound biblical. And something else. When people say that the Lord Jesus died for everyone and paid the price for everyone, then he paid the price also for the sin of unbelief and for the unwillingness. And he paid the price to have the Holy Spirit begin. And he paid the price for your conversion. He paid the price for your faith, right? If the Lord Jesus paid for someone's unbelief, that person will believe, right? Or not? So the Lord Jesus kind of has not paid for everyone in that sense. If he really has paid the price for you to save you, you are saved. And you don't have to pay twice. Or maybe someone says, yeah, but you have to believe that, right? He paid the price. He made it optional. He made it possible to be saved. And now you have to trigger that by wanting it. But the problem is we don't want it. We fell so deep, we don't want it. If the Lord Jesus did not pay the price for my unwillingness and my unbelief, it won't happen. And others say the Lord Jesus paid only for the elect. And there's nothing you can offer the reprobates if you're not chosen, some say. There is nothing. He paid the price for his chosen ones. And all the other ones, nothing. He offers nothing because there is nothing done for them. That's not biblical either. Because the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus invites unconverted ones and invites and calls reprobates. That the word of God is general and comes to all hearers of the gospel. So what does the confession say about that? That he all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained, right? Not just tasted it for a while, but sustained it completely throughout his whole life, sustained in body and soul. The wrath of God against the sins, what does it say? Against the sins of all mankind. Lord Jesus sustained the wrath of God in body and soul against the sins, plural, of all mankind. You know, some say mankind, he means the elect. That's not how Zacharias Yersinus has explained it in his explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism. He wrote the catechism. He knows what he meant. He knows what was accepted. It's not what was meant. Sometimes the word world means the elect. That's right. And sometimes the word world in the Bible means Jew and Gentile. But sometimes it means God's goodness. And that's what it is here. The sufficiency is there. The Lord Jesus died for his elect to save them efficaciously, yes. But that sacrifice itself was sufficient for the expiation, the Kansdorf say, of the sins of all mankind. So that means that we can preach to the Lord Jesus, the suffering Jesus, and he may say to everyone, there is enough salvation. We may say there is enough salvation. I don't say he died for you, but again say there is enough salvation also for you. You remember Tulip, right? Total depravity, unconditioned election, and the middle one, limited. Limited atonement. So we believe that the atonement the Lord Jesus made is limited. Limited. But you said it was sufficient the whole world. Now it says limited. What did Calvin mean with limited atonement? There is a limited amount of atonement? No. There's an unlimited amount of atonement. But what does he say then? Limited atonement. Well, limited atonement means that it is applied to a limited amount of people. So the suffering is unlimited. But it meant for a limited amount. That's why they also call it particular redemption. It might be a good word to use that, particular redemption. The redemption is particular for this and that one from eternity. So, be careful. God the Father sent his only begotten Son to save a people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus suffered innocently. And we preach him to all of you as the only propitiatory sacrifice. Propitiatory sacrifice, what does that mean? That's a difficult word, propitiatory. It's very close to redemption, very close to atonement, very close to reconciliation. You know the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? What's the difference? Forgiveness or reconciliation? Well, I can forgive someone and not be reconciled. We were friends, we were close, we did many things together, we were just bodies. And he did something that really hurt me. But after a while, I forgave him, but we are not friends anymore. Sorry. We're not friends anymore. It's too hurtful. I don't trust him yet. So I have forgiven him, but we are not close anymore. Forgiven, but not reconciled. And there is no obligation to be reconciled either. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's mandatory to forgive. Yes, you must forgive. But you do not have to be reconciled with God. Through Jesus, forgives and reconciles. And it is as if nothing happened. That's why the Lord Jesus came to pay that price, the propitiatory sacrifice, which is the only one, is nothing else. We hope to celebrate it next Sunday in the congregation with the Lord's Supper. The only propitiatory sacrifice. So that means you may leave all your qualifications at home. You don't have to bring them. Just please not. Don't bring any worthiness, any merits, any spiritual money. Leave it at home. It's garbage. It's refuge. It's filthy rags. is only one propitiatory sacrifice. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Atonement. I heard this explanation from the English translation of the word, that this is not really exegesis, but just something you may remember. Atonement. At one. Right? At one moment. Atonement. At once. So he brings together to one. Atonement is to be one again. To be united again. To be reconciled again. And so the Lord Jesus paid the price to give that ransom to be one with his people again. And the Lord Jesus suffered innocently, right? I mentioned already. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The word speaks of the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. He sustained with body and soul the wrath of God, with body and soul. Because not only our soul is lost, also our body. Now think about it yourself. Suppose the doctor would tell you the cancer is everywhere. Chemo won't do anything anymore. You've only a few weeks to live. If then, at that moment, you could believe it, that the Lord Jesus paid the price for your body as well. That body is wasting away. That body that is ruined by the cancer. If you may believe that the body is also paid for. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came with body and soul to save both. That he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. See? So that's why we believe in particular redemption or indefinite atonement or limited atonement. Lord Jesus died and paid the price. Now, Why do we yet believe in commanding to repent and to believe? If the Lord Jesus only paid the price to save the elect, why do we then preach the word to all? Well, not only because of that sufficiency, but also very simple. Very simple. Why we preach the word to all people? And call them all to repentance and faith. You know why? Because the Bible says so. It's the Bible does. It's what the apostles did. It's the Bible saying that. And why do we say that the Lord Jesus paid the price for the elect in particular? Because the Bible says so. And why do we say that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is sufficient for the whole world? Why do we say that? Because the Bible says so. And sometimes we cannot possibly wrap our heads around and say, it makes sense. So often it says, I just don't get it. I have that too. And honestly, I've given up on understanding it. I can't. I don't have enough brains to process that. But God is God. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he is saying. And I agree the word offer of grace is not in the Bible, right? But our forefathers used the word. And our canons of law are using the word as well. And don't take it wrong, it does not mean that we are Arminians and that we can take things ourselves. We can. We don't even want to. But it's yet offered. And that's the awkward situation the Lord offers, and nobody accepts it. Nobody. Unless the arm of the Lord is revealed. And the Lord makes people and makes people willing to be saved. To see the damnation part in the first thought and see the Lord Jesus suffering, tremendous, deep suffering. Why suffered he? Did he have to suffer so deep? Because that's how awful sin is. If you want to know what sin is like, look at the cross. How the Lord Jesus died. What a pain, forsaken of his Father. Sweating blood, there you see what sin is like. And so the Lord wants to give healing. Our third thought. The third place, healing. You know the text from Isaiah 53. By his stripes we are healed. When stripes are given, when someone receives the whip on his back, that wounds people, wounded. So the stripes to heal, his stripes are healing for his people, because he gets the stripes and he passes them by. And so give the favor. Obtain for us the favor of God. We like the favor of people, right? We like to be favored. We like the grace of people. But are we interested in the favor of God? That God would smile upon us and say, "You're mine." Anyone interested in God's favor? Some people are working hard to receive the favor of God. I want God's favor, do my best to gain God's favor. It doesn't work that way. We can only receive God's favor through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that favor means a lot. Proverbs 8. Whoso findeth me, who's me? That's Christ. Wisdom in Proverbs. Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So in order to receive the favor of the Lord, we need to find Christ. Because whoso findeth me findeth life and obtains favor of the Lord. And the favor of God makes all things good. Our circumstances is so overwhelming, God's favor, if you taste that, it's enough. My grace is sufficient unto you. But favor and grace is the same word in the original. Grace and favor. To find favor in someone's eyes, to find grace in someone's eyes, is the same word, chanan. And that favor makes everything good. His loving kindness, that's close. Loving kindness, one of those Hebrew words in the original. His loving kindness is better than life. Life can be good. But his favor, his loving kindness is much better. You believe that? Believe there is more to be obtained than this life. What's he below? And that's all through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You remember all those substitute words? He, we. Listen to that. Listen to the he and we. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. Oh. So he represents and he takes it all in. And so he obtains that favor for the church. That's why the curse was laid upon him, to take that curse away, to be assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, to take that curse away. That is joy. If you may see that, I said this morning in the sermon, not all God's people have assurance, but they all have faith in Christ. They are sure of him. Not always sure of themselves. They know the shepherd. But am I a sheep? Remember? When the Lord leads his church further, the Lord shows them that they may be his sheep, and that they have forgiveness. And he assures them of them, of that. And it gives a joy. Verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Turned into joy in the life after this life, but also here already. The Lord gives that. And also think about the form for the Lord's Supper. On page 137, you see the same thing, worded a little different. But also that substitution, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden. And then it comes, that he was bound that we might be freed. He bound that we may be freed from our sins, that he after suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded. That he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. See that he in us, that he suffered his blessed body be nailed on the cross, that he might fix it on the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings. He the curse, and we the blessings, and has humbled himself to the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. That's sweet. That's profound. Seek it for yourself. It's only comfort in life and death. so healed by suffering. That you suffer yourself, think of Christ's suffering. And you will look at your own suffering in a different way. You say, Lord, I have nothing to say. It's because of thy mercies that we are not consumed. Thy faithfulness is new every morning. Think of him suffering who did not deserve it at all. And may you be given to hide under him and to lean upon him and have that faith in the propitiatory sacrifice that he paid the price. You're free. He bound to make you free. Congregation, the Lord is good. Young people, the Lord is good. Even with that yoke on your back. He does not want to make life difficult for you. Seek the Lord and seek to bow under him. Because in him is life. His loving kindness is better than life. Amen. The Lord, remember them suffering. Make the suffering lighter, different. May they look at it from a different perspective. But also others not suffering, Lord, give them yet to be led to the sufferer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make his suffering precious as necessary. Lord, come therefore with the Holy Spirit. Make it well. Help us this week and all the responsibilities we have, also of house visitation and catechism classes. Lord, we ask thee for thy favor. Do not leave us. Do not forsake us. We ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.